World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm on my way back. On my way back. Physically and... I just thank all of you out there. Anybody been praying for me or whatever? I've been through it. And I woke up this morning, the first time in about 7 days, I feel like somewhat normal. I don't know if that's good or bad, but feel somewhat normal. I've had a head cold. Oh my goodness. But I just want to thank Paul Gosselin. He always gives me good advice, and he's not allowed to give me advice. You know, they steal his license or whatever. But I just appreciate Paul, everything he said, and kind of guiding me in the right direction. Here's the truth, Paul. We were having a little bit of a discussion before I went to the bone cruncher. I call him a chiropractor, the bone cruncher yesterday. And he said, well, it's just part of getting old. And Paul said, well, that's true, but that's not really true. And I said, well, it is part of getting old because I'm not as active as I used to be, right? I used to run and pump weight and do all that kind of stuff and go out and coach football and be running and jogging. And the older you get, just stop doing it. So it's not that it's part of getting old. It's that you stop doing what you used to do when you were young that makes you get old. So Paul, you have any comment on that? Cause I'm sure I'm not the only one out there. I hate to go work out cause I end up. Pardon me?
The power of death and life in the word, coach.
Yep.
Right. Don't not just tell you I had cancer or this and that. That's just their way of saying, I don't have an answer for you, but I have an answer for you, coach. You know, do it gracefully. You got to rest. You can't keep doing it the way you are, but you're so effective. All that energy is coming from this great huddle, coach.
Amen.
Take care of yourself.
I appreciate it. Greater love is no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends. That's what I try to do here every day. I appreciate you all being here, and feel like I'm almost ready to get back in the saddle. Not quite there yet, but bear with me. But I'm going to make it back. Hey Ray, tell everybody real quickly about your Men of Iron conference.
I think we're going to retitle it KJV, King Jesus Vision, is what it's all about. Like you said earlier, we serve the God we see.
Serve the God
we
see.
He's not a little baby in the manger. If that's how you see him, that's what you're going to worship. But he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's starting to come together pretty good. That's the one for Men of Iron Conference. That's going to be Saturday. That's with John Morehouse up in Green Bay, in that church with Pastor David Roth, I believe. Because you're coming up for that, Dave, I had scheduled a previous one for Friday all day long as well. But this is the one that's not up there yet. But okay. I'll give you more detail on that. But so this one here.
Yeah, okay, cool. Men of Iron, I'm coming up there February 28th. I booked the flights yesterday. Michelle and I are on our way up there. Ray, this is for people up in that area, man. Drive up there and be part of it. And maybe you can get us maybe somewhere some really good details on how to do it. I just want to make people aware of that this thing is coming up.
Still a little over a month away. I'll get more details.
All right, Ray. I know, man. I'm not being critical of you. Didn't mean it to sound that way. So I appreciate that. Mark Harrington's going to join me tomorrow. Now, it was kind of funny. I just, out of nowhere, I kicked on Rob Pugh last night at Wisconsin Christian News, and he had Mark Harrington on. Are you kidding me? Because I had scheduled Mark too. And friend, Mark Harrington is with Created Equal. Spencer, see if you can pull that up there real quick. CreatedEqual.org. And they are the front lines of the abortion debate. created equal. And what Mark does is he takes young people and he trains them in how to fight the abortion battle, how to engage on campuses, everywhere they go, and to be apologists for the abortion, especially to this gen. Folks, how can we, with the science that we have, how can we honestly, anybody out there, honestly think that an unborn baby is not a human being? Can somebody explain that to me, how we could possibly think that? Huh? How could we? I mean, it's absolutely bizarre, isn't it? It's bizarre to think we could think that an unborn child isn't a human being. And Mark, I credit Mark. Mark's the one standing right in the front there with his with glasses on, tie and glasses. Mark is the one guy that I know. Mark and I go way back. And when I first got sued by the ACLU, I started doing a radio show on Saturday mornings at WRFD in Columbus, Ohio. And I met Mark, and Mark said, "Coach, look, you got a great message." He said, You gotta raise support. You gotta start a ministry. Mark told me that. You gotta start a ministry. I said, "Mark, how the hell I do that?" He said, "Start with a newsletter." I said, "What?" He said, "Just start with a newsletter. Just mail people out and letter out to people, tell them what you're trying to do, and you'll get rolling." And that was 25 years ago. Mark gave me that vision to start a newsletter, and we still have, and we still today survive off of the donations of folks like you. Still today. He said, "Ah, oh, you're a millionaire." All right. So Mark will be on with us tomorrow. I look forward to doing that. One other thing, David Arthur's mom is getting better. David, are you in here, man? Are you in here today? Your mom is getting better. I haven't been able to keep up with this. I don't know if David's in here today or not, but you know, we've been praying for his mom, and she got a good report at the doctor. And again, I continue to honor Dave because I know what he's taking care of his mama. Say what you want to, babe. He's taking care of his mama. Mel, come on in.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Hey, Mel, hang on. I got some good stuff, folks. Don't go away. Come on in, Mel.
You always have good stuff. Hey, so everybody, also, just while you're there, Spencer, there is a gathering this Saturday in Ohio. So if you're interested in attending that, I believe it starts at 4, goes till about 7 o'clock. Get in touch with Glenn Claremont, and he can get you the details on that. Thanks.
Yeah, we'd love, anybody wants to come, we'd love you. We'd love you to come and be part of it. And again, I haven't been blowing the horn on this thing. I just kind of been, I've been struggling. I slept 17 hours the other day, 17 hours. I got through with my show yesterday and went back to bed. I mean, it's been crazy, man. I need a good doc, Paul. I need a good doctor. But I did get that stuff that you recommended. What was the name of that stuff? I've done bad. You have to say it here publicly. It came yesterday.
Start taking it. Just remember, you got to use it the way it's supposed to be used. When you're in a crowd, when you're in a plane, when you're traveling, when it's the holidays and everybody's around, you use it. And at that point, it prevents you from getting sick. Once you get sick, Coach, so then you'll have to call me again.
Yeah, it's been a battle, man, for sure. Randy, come on in, then Glenn, quickly.
Yeah, Coach, we're also having our monthly house church group in Oklahoma Saturday, also noon to 3. Anybody that wants to come, that's, you know, that I don't get to everybody. And so if you hear this and you want to come, give me a call and I'll get you directions.
Amen. Randy, just kind of real quickly, and this is kind of a general question. Why do we have such a hard time getting people to get together? Like, I can run down there a list of 10 people. There ought to be huddles going on at least once a month at all of these places. Why is it not? And what can I do to help? Is it financial? Whatever it is. Folks, you got to build a team around you. I'm going to get into some of this stuff here. Man. You better build a team around you. And I don't know why you're not. When all of a sudden, when all the shit hits the fan, you're going to look around and ain't nobody with you. And you'll be saying, "Damn it. I should've, would've, could've. Come on, man. This is so important. So important. Because, can I tell you the truth? Well, should I say it, Ray? Egg me on, Ray. Your church ain't worth a damn. They're not going to stand with you, folks. If you think you're going to go to your church, most people in there ain't even awake. They don't know what's going on. Glenn, come on in.
Yeah, this is for the Ohio folks. I'll be putting my contact info in the chat. So if you're interested in attending, let me know. I'll send you the details.
Thanks, Glenn. We're trying to expand the kingdom here, man. We're trying to expand it. We're trying to build. We don't need each other. We don't need each other. Cool. Let me move into some stuff here that really. I don't know if you know this or not. The left, the devil's team, is cornered. You guys know that? They're cornered. It's all being exposed on what's really going on. That they've been sitting in the power position for how long? How long have we watched Democrat, Republican give that fake fight on TV for us, thinking these guys were doing, we're for you. By the way, where's abortion regarding the Republican Party? Where is abortion in America? Where is that? Right? Where is a same-sex marriage regarding those Republicans? Are they out there fighting for traditional marriage? See, folks, they've picked positions opposite, but they ain't really opposite. They're not really opposite. Republican, Democrat, the two sides of the battle, and then give a great speech and say, we're gonna do this, and blah, blah, and then they don't do it. And the reason they hate Trump, whether you like him or not, what reason they hate Trump is because he does it. He says he's going to punch and he punches. And we are so not used to that in America. So not used to it. In fact, it is so foreign to Christianity, but it's not supposed to be. Sorry, it is not supposed to be. Oh, Lord. Pull up for me number four real quickly. Pull up number four. Now, if you guys don't think that there's such a thing as demons, okay? I showed one of these yesterday. If other than the demonic, can anybody explain to me this is not normal behavior? Go ahead, play this. Women! Women!
You headed Donald Trump. Are you calling for his death?
I am, yes. I believe it's time that the people straight cut his fucking head off.
That they did arrest a drug dealer. Oh
my God. This might get me in a lot of trouble, but you know, it might not. So here we go. Blow their fucking heads off.
Have been very clearly anti-American. How do you feel that he's appointed the first openly gay man in his cabinet, and he actually appointed him again in this administration?
Uh-huh.
Don't grab my property. Hey, don't grab my phone.
I just wanted to ask a question. Do you want to get shot?
Fucking ignorant piece of shit! Is your true self being a little fucking pussy who's shorter and feels insecure about how they are?
Because he was a racist, because he was a misogynist, and that means that you are too, because you support him! Get out! Get out of here!
Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you! Hey!
When people can't prove their points, they can't... They get violent!
I like the colors.
Kill the son of a bitch.
Kill who?
Wow, his 47th president.
Hey, Nazis, can you set up somewhere where I can avoid you easily?
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day.
Ah, fuck you, Nazi. Watch your
neck. Shame! Shame!
Shame!
Yeah. Yeah.
Too.
What are you guys arguing about with the police officers right now?
Bro, if the cops were here, I would beat your ass right now.
Hey!
Hats today. I will wake up and choose violence against the red hats every day.
Folks, they're giving us a warning. This is moving into a brand new stage, realm, whatever. The manifestation of the demonic is right in front of us. And we can say whatever we want to, that it's a minority, but it doesn't matter. And as I watch these people and watch all this stuff that goes on, I see a small group. We could call it a minority, small minority of Americans, mainly butchy women, out in the streets doing this, and it's effective. It appears to be effective. It gives the appearance that there's thousands of them, millions of them out there that hate Trump. Why doesn't the church show up in the streets? Why doesn't the church show up in the streets? Why aren't there all kinds of personal, peaceful prayer events organized by churches locally to pray for those who are in a positions of authority? Why isn't that? Why not? If the devil's team shows up, there must be a reason why. Where are we? Where is our team? Pull up number two. Come on now. Come on now. Look, I'm going to tell you something. Churches, do I have to say it, Ray? Do I have to say it? Before I do that, I'm going to ask all of you, and I want you to think about this. I want you to think about it. By the way, I'm for the church. I'm not against it. I'm for it. Did you hear me? I'm for the church. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Hang on. I want to do an editorialization right here. What's meant by last days? Last days of what? Have you ever noticed that in the last days of regimes, can we use regimes, political regimes? Would those be last days? Is this talking about the end of days, or is it saying that when something is about to come to an end, perilous times show up? Because those who are invested have put your life investment into something, and you see it exploding in front of you, become out of control. Somebody give me a thumbs up if you know what I'm talking about there, right? So what we're seeing is last days of many things. We may be seeing the last days of the American Republic. Have you noticed they keep calling it a democracy? We might be seeing the last days of Christ-centered education. We might be seeing the last day. This is not necessarily the end of the world that I'm sharing with you. At least that's my perspective, okay? Grant me that the ability to do editorialize here a bit, okay? Just know this, that in the last days of anything, perilous times shall come. Could this be the last days of America? Could this be the last days of our republic? So know this also. Here's the signs of the last days of any. My friends, how many different civilizations have we seen the last days of and the world continued on? But know this also. Here's how you're going to know whether they're in the last days. Perilous times are going to show up, and what's going to happen? Men are going to be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. These are the signs of a dying culture, not necessarily the signs of a dying world. You understand? You got to understand this. You got to understand this. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Signs of the end of an age, maybe. Signs of the end of a civilization, having a form of godliness. Churches everywhere, dancing inside their churches, praise and worship, dancing around, have a form of godliness, but there ain't no power to it. Am I doing okay, Ray? Am I doing okay? From such men, turn away. Why? Because these are the sort which creep into houses. What? Those spirits creep into houses. And they lead captive silly women laden with sins. Did you watch that video? Did you watch that video? Now look, folks, this may not be the end of the world. It could be the end of a civilization, the end of an age. These are the signs of something's ending. What? Know this also in the last days of what? Last days of what? Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's right in front of us. Right in front of us. That we have these people who serve the devil so boldly that they travel hundreds of miles to be on the streets and scream with their faces covered. Something going on, man. This is so deeply spiritual. And here's my concern. I'm going to open it up here in a second. I got a couple more things I want to show you. Here's the things that really, really concern me. Christians don't even recognize it. We don't even recognize what's going on. We don't even recognize it. Okay, pull up number one. Evil men have crept in unaware, changed the truth of God into a lie, worship and serve the creature. This is a really, really good one. Mike Cernovich. I don't know if you guys know who Mike Cernovich was. It goes back into Clinton years. Mike Cernovich, I'm going to put this in the chat because I want you to read it. This guy isn't even a Christian. And he wrote on Satan's unique hatred for white people. I'm sorry. Why is it that if you point out how the blacks are being persecuted and the women are being persecuted and the Mexicans are being persecuted and the Chinese are being persecuted, but if you point out how the white man is being persecuted, you're called names, you're a racist, you're a bigot, something going on. The Anglo-Saxons descended from the Anglos and Saxons who settled England after Rome withdrew. And they spoke Germanic language and became English and built our society around land-holding families, inherited property, local church courts, and Christian obligations to our community. More importantly than all that, we were the people whose feet have been shod with the gospel for more than 1,300 years. And Satan hates Anglo-Saxons. There I said it. Satan hates white people in particular because why? They were the progenitors of the gospel to the world. And that's why everybody can be discriminated against except the white guys. The white guys are always the one blamed for it. The Anglo-Saxons were among the last peoples in the old world to receive the gospel, lingering as a naked tree worshiping pagans in mist-shrouded forests while Rome and Byzantine had long bowed to Christ. They sacrificed to Odin and Thor and raided monasteries of Vikings. They lived in a savage cycle of blood feuds and tribal rage. Yet once the gospel pierced their hearts through missionaries like Augustine of Canterbury in the late 6th century, they embraced it with fervor unmatched in history, transforming from barbaric heathens to fervent apostles within a single generation. Folks, this is so powerful. Now, look, if you are hearing race in this, I don't even know what the hell to tell you. By the 7th century, these same former pagans were sending out their own evangelists to reclaim Europe from pagan darkness. And soon after, their descendants launched the greatest missionary movement the world has known. By the way, these were Anglo-Saxons. These were white folk. The gospel was the spark to Anglo-Saxon kerosene, the divine alchemy that fused their innate grit, ingenuity, and warrior spirit with biblical truth, turning savages into savants who built cathedrals of law, industry, and faith. Without it, they might have remained raiders. With it, they became redeemers, proving that God's grace finds its fullest expression in peoples ready to channel raw energy into eternal purposes. I'm not going to keep reading. The unique connection between Anglo-Saxon people and the Christian religion cannot be overstated. The gospel did not merely add a layer of morality to an already impressive culture. It was the decisive catalyst that unlocked the latent potential and propelled them from the edges of barbarism to the center of world-shaping civilization. Before Christ pierced their pagan darkness, Anglo-Saxons were fierce, capable warriors, skilled with axe and ship, bounded by blood oaths and tribal loyalty. But their world remained locked in a cycle of raid, revenge, and fleeting glory until Christ showed up. I'm not going to keep reading this. Put this in the chat. And so the assault that we're seeing right now is directly aimed at Anglo-Saxons. See, I feel so bad even saying this because you guys, we've been so programmed to think race. It was the Anglo-Saxons, the white men, who took the gospel of the kingdom to the world. They took it to Africa. They took it to Asia. White men. And who's the most persecuted people in America today? In fact, you guys are trained to think race. If I criticize a black man, I'm racist. Black man criticizes me, he's a minority. Yes or no? Somebody help me out. Somebody help me out. He's a minority pushing back against the oppression, right? And so we've willingly, it's like being married to, what's the word I'm looking for? A witch of a wife. You just kind of disappoint. You go sit in your lounge, you just stay away from her, man. That's what's happened to Christian America. Karens, yes, Beth, Karens. That's what's happened to Christian America. We've decided, rather than to take the assault of racism and name-calling, all that stuff, I'm just going to go hunker down in my church on Sunday, and I'm just going to try to survive from all this chaos around me. Put this in the chat. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. I promise you. This is worth the read. And what's under assault right now is Anglo-Saxon America, folks. Could there be, somebody help me here, could there be a wider place in the world than Minnesota? Maybe in America, wider place than Minnesota. And what have they done in Minnesota? They've infiltrated it with non-white people. Not only non-Anglo-Saxons, but demonically believing Somalians. Wow. All right, come on in, James. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, brother, you're hitting it right on. Yeah, you know, I was just in the background doing some stuff, and I heard all this screaming. I said, "Who let the demons out?" You know, realistically, you know, Jesus made it pretty clear in spiritual warfare, Satan cannot cast out Satan.
That's right, brother.
His kingdom cannot would be divided if it was so. Then you say, why is the church, where is the church? Satan has infiltrated the church.
Amen, brother.
Not all churches. There's a lot of churches that's out there doing. There's churches that's preparing right now to combat what you're saying. It's just they're in the background doing it. God is raging up a prayer war. This thing starts in intercession, and then it goes to the street. This is just the way the kingdom of God works, and I think he's going to do it. But this is why the manifestation of all these demonic entities, because they never manifested when they were at peace. When nobody pushed against them, there was no manifestation. Now that they are being pushed, that manifestation is coming. It, brother, if you're walking in the Holy Ghost, this is, if you're walking in the Messiah, if you're walking into Jesus, you don't have to look for them. They see you. Mm. They see you. I work at Walmart, and there's some really freaking weird people at Walmart. I'm telling you, there's really weird people that they have in stores. I can tell you, when my eyes lock on, I come out of a trailer and my eyes lock on to certain people, they see it. And they move the other way because they don't want to be set free. This is what the body of Christ has been called to do, and this is what God is going to raise up in the next 2 years. It's going,
God bless, brother, God bless.
I don't know where we're going, but it's going to be good. Amen.
Amen. I'm with you, dude. Huh? I'm with you. So listen, I wrote this down, and for all of you out there, to ask you this question. For folks, I love the body of Christ. I love the body of Christ. But many of you out there go to church Sunday after Sunday, and you have a wonderful church, and you love your wonderful church. Can you tell me anything your church has done to impact the culture other than mercy ministry? Say, oh yeah, we go out every Saturday and we feed the homeless. Oh, that's risky. Whoa. How many of you out there go to a church that have shown up at a city council meeting? How many of you attend a church where you stand up at school board meetings? Can you imagine what would happen if every church in your town showed up at the local school board meeting and said, no more transgenderism in our schools? Can you imagine? Why won't we do this? What has happened to us? Because they have conditioned you and I that we are the oppressors, when in fact we've become the oppressed.
Oh, amen.
They've tricked us. They've tricked us. And the whole world's waiting for us to wake the hell up and come back and get involved. The Supreme Court of the United States yesterday, Spencer, maybe you can find out, oh, where is it? Daggone it. The Supreme Court of the United States yesterday heard an argument on transgenderism in sports. Folks, what the hell? The Supreme Court is going to say men, there's no difference between men and women. The Supreme Court of America is going to say that? What the hell? Landmark Supreme Court case hearings Tuesday could shape rules for transgender athletes nationwide. You tell me we're not freaking sick. Not freaking sick. Come on in, Jeff. By the way, they heard the case, and I told you the guy couldn't even, one of the justices, I'm sorry, my brain's going, one of the justices asked him, what is the difference between a man and a woman? And he said, the attorney said, well, that's not an argument we make. It's the highest court in the land. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, Coach, you had a couple of thoughts. The Christians or the churchgoers are just sitting around waiting on the Supreme Court to fix everything for them, or their local law enforcement to protect.
No, they're waiting on the rapture.
Yeah. Well, but here's what I'm thinking. We 20 years ago, we're at the gay parade. We've seen it 100,000, 200,000 people. It grew to a million. Church didn't show up. Nope. And that some of that craziness was going on back then in them parades, that screaming and the whistles and the drums, same thing. It's progressed now. So then we go to school board meetings 10 years later, a boy in a dress right here in the little farm country in East Knox. They never thought this stuff would happen here. The rainbow flags in there. Well, now all of a sudden recently in the last 9 months, I haven't been to the board meetings lately, but they got a new superintendent. Now all the Christians are praising him. Oh, he's so great. He's doing great in our school. He's not going to tolerate this stuff. They're relying on that one man. Well, day before yesterday, they locked down the East Knox school. A threat that a guy was coming in and start shooting. So, yeah, in the farm country here in Knox County. So that all got locked down for the day. They had cops from, they had SWAT teams. They had Knox County Sheriff, Licking County Sheriff, State Patrol. They had Mount Vernon Police. Everybody's down there. And they're all praising them now. Christians are saying this. Well, they were there within 5 minutes and saved our children. They saved our children. So then another one posts online because they locked down. They just let the kids stay out of school yesterday. Them kids were freaked out. I've heard some testimony. They were scared to death. Little middle schoolers, fourth graders, and any grade, scared to death all day, freaked out, most of them. So this one mom, Christian mom, she puts on there, well, shows a picture of the kids at her home in the living room, toys everywhere. She says, oh, I'm so glad. I'll tolerate all this junk and house and toys everywhere. My kids are safe. And thank you to the sheriff's department. They're just praising them. But they're going to put them right back on the little yellow school bus straight to hell, send them back into that school again.
And we're going to pay for it. Where's the Christian public school? How come there are no Christian public schools?
Yep.
Well, where are they, folks? Where are they? Come on in, Paul.
I hope folks will take a look at this video I'm going to post. You're talking about the end times here. And when COVID hit, they issued a letter to the postal workers so they could travel through roadblocks, martial art kind of thing. And it's occurring in these big cities like Minneapolis and so forth. And so it was a letter during COVID, but they just issued the same type of letter recently, which allows them to go through roadblocks because it's an upcoming kind of disaster or something pending. I just thought people should take a look at that video, see what you think about it. But it's so apropos for what you're talking about right now, Coach. It's kind of like the end of these times. Anyway, please take a look at it.
So, Paul, when you use the term, I'm copying and pasting something. If I get distracted, I'm sorry. Militant Christianity. Militant. What does that mean? What does that mean? Spencer, that'd be a good thing to Google real quickly here for me, if you could. Militant. Go to Webster. What is militant? Militant, fighting, combating, and serving as a soldier. The church militant is the Christian church on earth, which is supposed to be engaged in a constant warfare against its enemies, thus distinguished from the church triumphant or the one in heaven. We have lost. See, they have made Christian activism bad when we're supposed to be militant as an army fighting combat, not guns and knives and bombs. The enemy uses those. We're called to lay down our lives. Well, how do you lay down your lives? You go into combat. You serve as a soldier. And we got our churches telling us, come to church, God will just give all your blessings. Everything will just be good as it could be. And by the way, continue to pay your taxes because your kids keep going to the public schools. Well, they'll turn them into little atheists. You know I'm telling you the damn truth. You know I am. I'm a militant Christian. What? I'm fighting and combating for the cause of Christ. The church militant. I'm a Christian church on earth engaging in constant warfare against the forces of darkness. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it. Hang on, love. I got lost over here. I must be feeling better. I've been a little bit, give me a little punky here. Come on there, Andy.
Coach, look back. About what time did we lose that worldview of Christianity militant? It was about the same time of dispensationalism, Schofield, Darby, and all that, right, Coach?
Come on, brother. Come on.
See the connection? Enough said, as Joe Allen says. Enough said there.
Enough said, right? Took the heart right out of us. Only going to get worse. Why would we fight? Just going to get worse. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Yes, that's where it is. See, we serve a conquering king. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on the earth. That's what the gospel is. That's what we're supposed to do. Not just feed the poor and wipe their noses. We're supposed to advance the kingdom. I feel like a freak. I'm the only guy. Well, Flip Benham and Rusty. I can rattle off a bunch of them. Catching my breath here. Somebody come in and save me before I say something I wish I hadn't said. Come on.
The church, Coach, the church Jesus set up in Matthew 16:18, it was a militant church. It was an aggressive church. It was an offensive church. It was a dominant church.
The Baptist, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and violent men take it by force. Is that scripture or not? I promise you it is. Anybody know what scripture that is? From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and violent men take it by force. Now, hang on, Spencer. Look up violent. We know what militant is. Violent. What is violent? Forcible, moving, or acting with physical strength. Vehement, outrageous. Produced or continued by force. Produced by violence. To violate, what violate means? Acting by, folks. In the days of John the Baptist until now. Where is that, Spencer? Did you find it for me? In the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and violent men take it by force.
Matthew 11:12.
Just so you know that it's a scripture. Matthew 11:12. I hope you think I'm crazy. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Take what? The kingdom. God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. The days of John the Baptist are now the kingdom that suffered violence. We've been violated. The kingdom of God has been violated. And we're soldiers of the cross. And we will not step in and engage the enemy. We refuse to do it. How many people, how many Christian people, come on now. How many people who support getting rid of those folks in Minnesota, what are they called, Somalians? How many Americans do you think we could get to show up on the streets supporting the police? Where are they? Well, I'll tell you this, showing up in the streets must work, because look what the hell the left's doing. There ain't even that many of them. Where's the church militant? Where is it? Come on in, Randy.
Coach, you know, General Flynn, I've talked to him a few times, and, you know, his message is local action produces national impact.
That's right.
And, you know, I tell him, yeah, that's what we're doing. And last time my son talked to him, he told him what I was doing, and he just said, that's what I'm trying to get people to do, is to take up, be activist for what's right and stand up. I mean, that is his message. That's his entire message, Coach.
We have to. We have to. Excuse me. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, look, I want to shift gears because it's important, okay? Get down to number five. I want to introduce some of you to, some of you know him, maybe you don't. He's been really having some medical issues. Charles Jennings, Truth and History. You guys didn't know who Charles Jennings is? I actually spoke to him the other day. I wanted to come on our show. He lives in Oklahoma, and he's just not physically able to do. But Charles Jennings has all of it right. Scroll down there so people can see all the videos and everything he's made. He's been doing it for years and years and years and years and years and years. Who the church really is, and who Israel really is, and Truth and History. Truth and History. Now, I want you to watch real quickly. Pull up the 2-minute mark, Christians or Sons of God. A little clip that Charles Jennings just made. What a soft, kind man Charles Jennings is. And I just want, just think about this for a minute. Truth and History. Go ahead. Remember, who told you that? And why do you believe it? Go ahead.
But it took a while to recover, not from the fall, but from the surgery. That was quite an ordeal. So I just want to say thank the Lord, and I appreciate your prayers, your concern, cards, and so on.
Speed it up to about 1.5 if you can, Spence.
Today I would like to talk about Christians, the word Christian, as opposed to sons of God. Now, in our Bible, the word Christian is used 3 times. And the first one is found in the book of Acts, chapter 11. And this is the setting for that verse. On Paul's, some of his missionary journeys, Paul was at home at Tarsus, and Barnabas went and got him. So they formed a team together. And in verse number 25 of chapter 11, it says, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. Then departed Barnabas, and he was on a mission, really, from other brethren to go to these different churches and admonish the believers. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Now, Christian is a good word. And it tells us that the people in Antioch, the believers in Antioch, must have made an impression upon the outsiders, the citizens of Antioch. So the word got around that these people were Christians. Now, the word Christian, we are told, means a follower, an imitator of Jesus Christ, and being Christ-like. So really, I think, this is my own thinking, I think it was used as a derogatory term. These people over here in Antioch, they're trying to imitate their leader, Jesus Christ. They're trying to follow him. And several years ago, if you'll remember, there was a book written entitled, "What Would Jesus Do?" I think the author was Robert Shelton. And it had a good concept. As you live your daily life and you run into these different instances in your life, you say, "What would Jesus do?" So you're trying to be Christ-like, trying to be a Christian. But personally, I think that it was first used in a derogatory manner because, oh, those people over there, they are trying to be like their leader, Jesus Christ. Well, here in modern America, and no doubt throughout the Western world, the word Christian can just about mean anything. It can mean a person that is extremely conservative in their walk with the Lord, or it can mean an extreme liberal that are out promoting abortion or same-sex marriage. They're Christians. So it has lost its original meaning. It's no longer a derogatory term or used in that way because it's been watered down. It was no doubt used in a derogatory manner in the book of Acts, but yet it was a compliment.
Treason.
Those people
Treason.
Are serious.
They hated them because they were Christians. They made fun of them because they were Christians, because they were trying to expand a kingdom. It wasn't everybody loves them. It's not we love everybody. It was a battle to expand a kingdom. Go ahead.
About following their master, the Lord Jesus. But today, it can mean anything. You're not an atheist. You're a Christian.
You're not a Jew, but you must be a Christian. You could be anything from a conservative Baptist to a radical Pentecostal. You could, and anything in between, or an independent. Say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, also, when we go to the book of Acts, chapter 26, Paul is before Agrippa, and he's preaching to Agrippa, and he's telling him about the gospel. And in verse number 27 of Acts 26, Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost you've persuaded me to be a follower and an imitator of Jesus Christ. Also in the book of 1 Peter, we find this in chapter 4 and verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, good. That's a good term. You're suffering as a follower of Jesus Christ. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. In other words, there's those that are persecuting or suffering or bringing accusation against those that call themselves the followers of Jesus Christ. And I don't mean to this in a derogatory sense, but yet, let's be real. There's all kinds of, quote, Christians, and that, as I said before. And you can be an outright beer-drinking, cigarette-smoking, cursing, unfaithful man or woman, and you can consider yourself a Christian. It's lost its meaning.
Go ahead and freeze. Put that in the chat.
It's lost its meaning.
It's lost its meaning. Christian has lost its meaning. Did you know that they were first called Christians in Antioch? They were making fun of them. They were making fun of them. They weren't honoring them. Why? Because Paul came to turn the world upside down. Yes or no? Yes or no? Doesn't the book of Acts talk about these men who came to turn the world upside down? Can somebody find that for me? They came to turn the world upside down. They were Christians. And look what it means to be a Christian today. Yeah, Jack, Christian nationalist. Damn right, I'm a Christian nationalist. This is a nation that belongs to Christ. I'm a Christian nationalist. And so what they have done is they've taken the heart of Christianity and they've made it about race and bigotry to the point they just hammer you, hammer you, hammer you. And rather than us wimpily rolling over and let them have, any time we freaking stood up, say, yeah, damn right I am. Damn right I am. So you're so judgmental, damn right I am. Huh? Yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. Come on in, James. Somebody help me. I'm struggling here. I could go a thousand directions. Hang on a second. I got to tell you something. Sometimes I feel like I'm not whining. I feel like I'm the only one who sees it. I can't think of one problem in our culture, in our society, that the Church of Jesus Christ could not change. Can anybody out there name one? One issue that a unified body of Christ could not change? One thing. And we change nothing. Churches don't even talk to each other. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I think this was kind of a question in regards to the angelic beings when the Messiah created this thing called salvation. There is no plan B, brother. If it don't come through us, it ain't going to come. If it is not going to come to the those 12 men that that violently took the kingdom of God through the book of Acts, yeah, there's no plan B. There is no other way man can be saved except through Jesus and through us taking it to the world. You know, Satan knows. He knew the first church could not be defeated. He knew it. So what did he do? He infiltrated it.
Yes, he did.
He creeped in unawares, and he
changed the way the church worked. I mean, and you can see that we're in the last church. Thyatira and Laodicea was rich churches. They were wealthy churches. And look what Messiah said to them. Why we are in the place that we are in. And I know there's a remnant, brother. There's a remnant that's being, there's a remnant coming. And those who are in this remnant will be at war with the church people as we know it. It's
rise
coming.
Or die, brother. That's the way I see it, James. That's it. Amen. Amen. One more thing. Pull up number three. Margaret Taylor Greene. That's the same link. It's not MTG. Oh, it doesn't matter. I can't. Oh, no, that's okay. Oh, by the way, put that in the chat. Make sure you guys read that entire thing. I can't believe I didn't get that. Margaret Taylor Greene talking about what's going on in D.C. Where was that, man? Where was it? Why should she resign? Spencer, Google that real quick. See if you can find it. Now, hang on. We don't have time. We don't have to. Hey, Paul, do me this favor. Spencer, pull up Pete Chambers. Pete Chambers. Folks, this is the stuff we're dealing with, okay? Pete Chambers is, Paul Gosin knows Pete. I saw Pete again last weekend. He's running for governor of Texas as an independent. And watch what happens here. Watch what happens.
It doesn't matter what it means. Look, you know what? I'm going to ask you to leave here in a minute. All right? You think you're funny sitting over with your glasses on, being the cool guy. It's not really doing anybody any good.
Left is lawless.
Let him stay here. Just be respectful of people's time. That's all I'm asking you. Oh my gosh, I'm done talking to you. What's that? Okay. We're going to end this conversation now. No. I'm not offering you the mic. We're going to end the conversation.
This guy wants to come up and take over the meeting. Wants to take his mic.
No, you're not taking this over. You're not taking this over, sir. Go ahead. No. Hold on. Go ahead and call the police.
Let's go one to one and ask questions.
No, there's not. No,
what's the problem?
Get out of here. Get your ass out of here.
You know what you're doing.
Get your ass out of here. You don't belong
here. Get out. Hey. Let it go.
Hey. That is enough.
That's enough.
That is enough. That is enough. Now stop.
Security.
Just calm down. Okay.
Okay, you can stop. See, friends, look, here's the problem. The Bible says that the righteous are as bold as lions. The righteous are as bold as lions. And evil men flee, no one pursues. We're supposed to be advancing a kingdom. Do you get it? Do you understand it? That we're God's royal army marching upon the earth to submit the world to Christ? Do you understand it? Do we understand it? Man, we're in the middle sometimes right now. And we're either going to engage. I don't know what. Righteous are as bold as lions. Mark Harrington tomorrow. Don't miss it. Thanks for putting up with me. Feeling better. Thanks for the prayers. See ya.